In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, August 5th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Pepperdine University, founded by the Church of Christ denomination, has announced that it will accommodate Title IX requirements for participation of homosexuals in the school's program. Since 1976, the Christian University had exempted itself from Title IX requirements on two accounts: feminism and the acceptance of homosexual behavior. Andrew Benton, Pepperdine University president, wrote in a letter to the U.S. Department of Education that, quote, "We believe that Pepperdine's mission and the goals of Title IX are aligned," unquote. Proverbs 25:26 says, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked." The latest Fox News poll puts Hillary Clinton 10 percentage points ahead of Donald Trump. Clinton is ahead of Trump with women by 23 percentage points, with Hispanics by 48 percentage points, and with blacks by 83 percentage points. Only 4% of blacks are going for Trump. The Republican candidate is also doing badly in the swing states, 9% behind in a Michigan poll and 15% behind in New Hampshire. Analysis of Hillary Clinton's spending plans indicate more government, more debt, and more taxes. Fox News reported an estimate of $1.3 trillion in new taxes and $2.2 trillion in new debt under Clinton's spending plan. These numbers are based on independent analyses from the Tax Policy Center and the Center for a Responsible Federal Budget. The Dow Industrial Averages are down 250 points over the last 2 weeks, and U.S. oil settled below $40 for the first time since April. Economist Gerard Lamero, author of Great News for America, The Constitution, Freedom, and Prosperity Are Coming Back, talked to The Worldview and offered this explanation.
Well, the Dow's seven-day closing streak that's been down, I would associate with probably three or four major things going on. One is severe concerns over global growth that have been on and off troubling investors for months. In addition, we see that the oil prices on Wednesday fell below $40 a barrel, which is an issue because it has great impact.
Dr. Lamero added that many analysts are overlooking the economic impact of the presidential election.
I wrote an article this week about the different tax plans between Trump and Hillary. I think there could be a lot of fear from investors that her tax plan may be the one that's ultimately going to be passed if she's elected. And that tax plan includes a $1 trillion tax increase. Trump's tax plan, in stark contrast to Clinton, cuts taxes.
WorldNetDaily.com reports that an employee of World Vision has been charged in Israel with diverting tens of millions of dollars to a Muslim terrorist organization. Mohammed El Halabi, director of World Vision's Gaza branch, is accused of diverting World Vision's monies toward the construction of tunnels from which terrorists launched attacks in Israel. The money was collected for the purpose of supporting Palestinians living on the Gaza Strip. The Vice President of the United States officiated a pseudo-wedding of two men on Monday. Later in a tweet, Joe Biden said he was, quote, proud, unquote, to do it. We would remind the Vice President, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty." Isaiah 2:12 and following. The Indianapolis Star has released information on an extensive investigation of a massive sexual abuse scandal in an Olympics training program called USA Gymnastics. The organization had received complaints concerning 50 coaches affiliated with the program. Children as young as 7 years of age were victimized over the last several decades. After Russia announced its intentions to persecute Christian churches that engage in evangelism, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has announced they will pull their persecuted church conference out of Russia. The first ever World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians is moved to Washington, D.C. and scheduled for October 28th through 30th. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, August 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. A homeschool father of five raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me as well. And today, friends, we're going to address our kids and the new school year opening up here in just a week or two. It's a brave new school year, my friends, because the brave new schools are getting braver all the time. It's just that the frogs in the slowly boiling water typically do not understand that the temperatures have risen to roughly 211.8 degrees, which for those of you who have not been educated in your chemistry class, that's approaching boiling point. So friends, the brave new schools, braver than ever. And of course, the great controversies that have raged between the federal government and a few of the states on the transgender issue is just one indication of that. But the schools are bound to become increasingly homosexualized because of Obergefell. If the Supreme Court of the United States determined that the atom no longer had a proton, they would have to affect every single chemistry textbook in every classroom around America. It would just have to happen. Why? Because if the Supreme Court of the United States has the audacity to decide, not that they know anything about science, but if they had the audacity to decide that there was no proton in the atom, they would have to indoctrinate every subsequent generation of students in this country that the atom has no proton. And the same thing applies to marriage. If the traditional marriage between a man and a woman has been completely dismantled by the Supreme Court of the United States, of course the schools are going to have to follow suit, and they're going to have to teach the official doctrinaire that has been approved by the Supreme Court of the United States, as the Supreme Court has invented a brand new social system for, well, all of us. And that is the direction that the schools are headed. And of course, at this point, we're probably going at 60 miles per hour if we were only going at 40 miles per hour last year. California has become the first state to teach LGBT history in public schools. For those of you who don't understand what LGBT is, it's a violation of just about every law you'll find in Leviticus 18 and 20. So if you want to check out the laws there, you understand that America is doing its best to violate God's laws at every point. And I can't remember that California was teaching students to violate God's laws in the 1940s and the 1950s and the 1960s. Some say that secular schools have no business teaching anything to do with morals. Well, they always teach something of a moral perspective. It's impossible to be neutral when it comes to morals. And so at one point, the schools were not teaching that certain of these abominations were appropriate. But now, not only are they teaching that they're appropriate, but they're also teaching that these things are preferred. Second graders are learning about two moms and two dads as a standard part of the nuclear family in California as of this year, starting in just a few weeks. And they also learn about the significance of the Stonewall riots. Mm-hmm. And also they've learned about Harvey Milk, who was the first openly homosexual elected to public office in California. Harvey Milk, as you know, was a 34-year-old homosexual who was a pederast with a 16-year-old as early as 1964. According to his biographer, he was a serial pedophile who, quote, preyed on young waifs with substance abuse problems. Now, Harvey Milk is a hero. Everybody needs to understand Harvey Milk's a hero. Harvey Milk has his own postage stamp, and as of July 14th, he's got his own Navy ship, the USNS Harvey Milk. Apparently, the Navy has named a military sealift command fleet oiler the USNS Harvey Milk. So he's got his own ship and he's got his own postage stamp. Heroes are indicative of the values of the nation. A nation's heroes indicative of the nation's values. And our heroes today are indicative of the squalor that this nation finds itself in today, my friends. This is how you bring a nation to utter degradation. This is how you degrade it and destroy it, but you have to degrade and destroy the kids too. It has to be a multi-generational degrading vision in order to destroy a social system and to destroy a nation. And that, my friends, has been a project in the works for a very long time.
Yeah, whereas a lot of the Republicans are looking toward the next election to save America, the liberals and the Democrats are looking to the next generation, and they have a multi-generation view, a plan.
Sure.
That's something that the conservatives and the Christians really need, is not the next election, but what about my children and my children's children? Something to do with Psalm 78, maybe?
Well, what did Mrs. Obama say at the Democratic National Convention but that it is critical that we gain control over the minds of the children over the next 4 to 8 years?
Yeah.
That's critical for the Democrats. It's absolutely crucial to gain control over education in the minds and the souls of the next generation, especially if your agenda is to destroy them and to bring about the utter destruction of a sexual system and a social system over the next number of years. And by the way, they're also teaching, this is all part of the California LGBT history course, they're also teaching that Catherine Lee Bates from Wellesley College, also the author of America the Beautiful, was a lesbian.
Really?
Yeah. That's an important part of the history being taught in American public schools in the state of California as of another number of weeks from now. Friends, this is interesting. Catherine Lee Bates was what they would call involved in a Boston marriage.
A Boston marriage.
Yeah, a Boston marriage. She was part of the feminist movement of the 1800s. She lived with her friend, her female friend, for 25 years. And the Boston marriage involved women who were involved in preparation for the feminism of the 20th century and the 21st century. You've got to begin destroying a social system over a period of 150 years. If you don't spend enough time, you'll never bring a nation down. You certainly cannot erode the foundations of an entire civilization in 4 to 8 years. You've got to do the work over a period of 150 years, my friends. And the feminist movement of the 1800s began with some Boston marriages in which there was a hatred of men and an independence embraced by the early feminists. You don't just drop into complete sexual anarchy and social disintegration over 3 weeks. The slow but steady disintegration of God's social order has to happen early on. And these Boston marriages would involve two females who would live with each other for a very long time and dally with romantic language with each other, not unlike Shakespeare and other avant-garde proto-homosexuals from the 17th century and 18th century. So the point being that the avant-garde academic elites of the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, friends, at first, they're not going to go entirely over into full-blown homosexuality. It's got to start with proto-homosexuality, and that was what was represented by the early feminists and by others. And by the way, if you would like more on the story of how homosexuality developed and eventually dominated in the Western world, be sure you get a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website. Friends, you've got to understand that this has been in the process for a very long time. Ideas have consequences, and we are enjoying the ideas, quote unquote, in the present day, ideas that were formulated in the 1700s and 1800s. Be sure to get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West to understand the process. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September 1st through the 4th and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges. for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast today as we speak about the upcoming school year. Just a heads up for Christian parents, at least in the state of California, don't send your kids into school classrooms in which they hear about Harvey Milk. And I encourage you not to teach your fourth graders about Harvey Milk this year. If you take a look at his biography, I recommend that you don't. It's extremely foul and a perverted life that's cataloged by a homosexual writer of the life of Harvey Milk in a book called The Mayor of Castro Street. But, friends, this is the kind of stuff we're not going to share with our children. We ought not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what we do on this radio program, of course. We reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't want to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Therefore, I recommend that you not read the biography of Harvey Milk. But Harvey Milk has a ship named after him. And California schools are teaching about Harvey Milk in LGBT history. Friends, I encourage you to be very, very cautious with how you handle your children. The other side is always upping the ante. They're making things worse and worse to test the faith of Christians who will either, on the one hand, capitulate, accept it, and just send their kids into it, or they'll fight it. They'll preach against it. They'll stand up on tables in the school cafeteria and risk imprisonment, and then they'll pull their kids out of these schools. So it's one or the other. The other side is upping the ante and testing the faith of Christians here. And so in some sense, Steve, I think it's a healthy thing because we're going to find if there are any Christians left in the state of California or other states around the United States. In fact, you know, the transgender schools are all over the place today. California, Vermont, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, Maine, Connecticut, Minnesota, and Massachusetts are the 10 states that are most liberal on transgender access of bathrooms and the teaching of transgenderism in schools. Again, friends, if you live in these states, be especially aware that these things are already happening. The heat is up in the kitchen, so be aware of that. The state of California, Vermont, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, Maine, Connecticut, Minnesota, Massachusetts. I'm assuming there are Christians who live in these states. Well, the state of Colorado is the fifth worst state in America when it comes to issues like transgenderism and homosexuality. Colorado being the fifth worst state in America when it comes to these things.
Yeah, see, it's not a question of whether or not your children will be discipled. The question is by whom? And if you're not doing it, and if you're not overseeing what's going on, see, there is no opt-out of this education in California. This is the law. It is going to begin. Second graders all the way through are going to start learning. And I'm guessing that when they give the history of LGBT, they're not going to do it from a biblical perspective. They're not going to be saying these guys were wrong and they should have changed their lifestyle. They're going to give all the best, all the great things, and show how great LGBT people are and that maybe you would want to be one and encourage recruitment into this type of lifestyle.
Well, it doesn't do much good to warn people who don't want to be warned, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with it. Of course, Matthew chapter 18 does say that anyone who offends one of these least of these little ones who believes in me, that it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. That's the words of Jesus. So I would just say that. Matthew 18 seems to express a very ardent view of the protection of children, and I would encourage families to protect their children because Jesus takes it seriously. But I guess the question I have for people is, do you want to give them something besides Harvey Milk? Is there something else? Is there something more important than that in your life? Perhaps Jesus Christ. Is Christ important enough?
in your life would you want to give Jesus to your kids? And how much Christ would you give your children if you had an opportunity to give them Christ? Would you give them Christ once a week, once a day, or 30 to 40 times a day? I would recommend at least once an hour, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yeah, that would be good.
And how often would you pray with them? Would you teach them to pray without ceasing, for example? Would you pray throughout the day? Would you pray whenever you have opportunity? Would you put the Word of God before them so that they would meditate upon it day and night? Would it be as a frontlet before their eyes and on the gates and on the posts and on the walls of the house? Would it be that accessible? Or would you create a form of raising where your children are Christless and wordless for 45 hours out of the week, where they go into a frame of mind or they get into certain spheres of existence in which God is not present, in which Jesus is not a reality? So these are the questions I think we need to ask ourselves. Do we want to give them Christ? Now, if you don't want to give them Christ and you don't have Christ, then that's one thing. I understand that. I understand that the world is going to move away from Christ and will give them more of Harvey Milk. So I can see that. But for those who know Christ, and they know his redemption, they know his salvation, they know that he died on the cross for their sins, and they appreciate that, and they serve him, and they receive his words, and find that his words present a completely different form of knowledge and of an understanding of the universe and the understanding of the purpose for life and an understanding of the whole issue of education, discipleship. All of that changes when we come to know Christ. They begin to see that Christ has a different approach to life, and Jesus has a different law, and he's our king as well, and we submit all to him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we need to raise our children with this distinctively Christian worldview in which they learn that Christ has a different take on politics. He's got a different take on science and history and everything else. Do you want to follow Christ, and do you want your children following Christ? I think that's the question I want to ask today, Steve.
Yeah, the only things that you will ever take with you to heaven are your children. You won't take your money, your houses, your cars, anything else. And so the most important things are your kids. And if you're going to give them Christ, you've got to do that personally, and you've got to oversee that. If you're sending them to a Christless government school where by federal law it is illegal for the teachers to present Christ, they're not going to get it there.
Well, and we read in Colossians chapter 1 that he is preeminent over all things, and by him all things consist. If that isn't being taught in the history class, the social sciences class, and the science class as the most basic foundational principle that comes back on almost every other page in the textbook, then friends, we've already drifted from a Christian view of life. Now, we're working on a distinctively Christian curriculum for all the grades, and it will take us another year or so to get most of the curriculum together, but we're trying to develop a curriculum that works. We're rather disturbed and dissatisfied by whatever exists right now for Christian schools and Christian homeschools. So we're trying to find the best of a Christian worldview curriculum and pulling that together as a ministry. We've got some fragments of it up on our website right now, which folks can avail themselves to. We'd recommend Worldviews in Conflict and the Christian Classics and What Does the Bible Say About That and the Proverbs Workbook. But we're pulling together a full-orbed Christian worldview curriculum that will compete with the non-Christian forms in which Christ is not the thing that identifies the curriculum itself. We want a curriculum that's saturated with the Word of God on almost every single page. And friends, that's coming in a little bit. Why? Because we live in a secular world. You say, why do we lose 80 to 90% of each successive generation? Why is the faith dying out? A big reason for it is we are utterly saturated in the wrong worldview. Utterly saturated in a secular humanist worldview. And I tell you what, it's seeped in everywhere around through the edges and the corners of our lives. Well, here's the final point I want to make on this edition of the program. We need to be praying for our children and our grandchildren. Steve, we are living in an age in which the enemy is surrounding our homes, our families, our cultures. The enemy has his guns on the hearts and minds of our kids, and the guns are set on rapid fire. Our kids are really threatened by the enemy. And I think there's much more of an aggressive approach to grabbing the hearts and the minds of the next generation as there was in the 1830s and the 1730s. You didn't have the compulsory attendance laws. You didn't have all of this media in which powerful forces are working to disciple our children in the wrong worldview. So what we want to do is pray for our children that God defends them from these things, from the cultural influences, but also the spiritual temptations and suggestions that come. So you can isolate your kids, but you've still got the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil in various other forms. So we want to pray for our children because they are very much threatened by the devil. They're very much threatened by the influences of the world. They're very much threatened by their own nature, by their own fallen nature. And for these reasons, we ought to be on our knees crying out for the salvation of our kids. And we want our children to see the truths of God's word. We pray specifically that God would open their eyes and see the spiritual truths, the spiritual importance of Jesus coming to die on the cross for our sins. They need to see Christ on the cross dying for their sins today. They need to see that tomorrow. They need to say that the day after tomorrow. We want to pray that God would open their eyes, that God would help them to understand, that God would enable them to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, that they might be one day Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that can stand up when the king enforces that they teach some form of idolatry or some positive form of homosexuality in the public schools, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will stand and say, no, I'm not going to teach that. I'm going to teach something different in this public school classroom. That by the time they're 25 or 26 years of age, they're young men or young women, they can stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the face of persecution, even to the point where they might lose their job or they might be put in a fiery furnace or in a lion's den. I want to pray that our kids will be mighty men, mighty women of God who can stand in the gap against these great forces that stand against them, that they won't bow, they will not bend, and they will not burn.
Amen to that. And only with that will then their children and their children's children grow stronger in the faith. It's always through troubles and persecution that the church grows.
Friends, pray for your children. Be on your knees for them. If you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, this happened to me 3 or 4 nights ago. I woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was very concerned about one of my daughters, and I wanted to be able to minister to her somehow. And, you know, nothing was really coming to me. I didn't have the communication channels open at that point. Of course, at 2 in the morning, it's doubtful you're going to have communication channels open. But there were some concerns. So specifically, I prayed for her for maybe an hour or two in the early morning hours. And I think the Lord wakes us up, Steve, in the morning hours, the quiet morning hours, and puts a burden on our hearts for our kids. And it's at that point that we act upon that. We pray for them. We pour out our hearts. We ask our Heavenly Father for a piece of bread, not a stone, but a bread, not a stone, but a fish. We're asking our Heavenly Father for a blessing for our own children. And you know what? He's a better father than we are, so we can count on that. He's going to respond in a good way. So we as fathers and mothers, let's be on our knees for our kids, praying for God to specifically open up channels of communication, that God would help melt our hearts in order that we might have more compassion for our kids, we might love them more, that we might have more patience with them, that we would exhibit less selfishness and self-centeredness. See, it's so easy for us to be so self-centered that we hardly have the interest and the love for them, the compassion for them in their struggles and their trials to communicate and to engage and to pray with them and for them. You know, we need to pray for these things, specific things, friends. This is more than taking your kids out of the public schools. We got a better, bigger battle on our hands. We've got significant prayer battles we need to be waging for the souls, for the minds of our kids. This is a spiritual battle. It's also a matter of discipleship in which it's going to be an 18-year or 20-year process of giving them Jesus day in and day out and rooting and grounding them in the truth of God's word, that these things might prepare them to be mighty men of God and mighty women of God as they engage the culture in their adult years. My friends, that's the vision today on the Generations broadcast. We're not just escaping something when we walk away from the public schools and Harvey Milk 101 and Harvey Milk 102. We're giving them Jesus Christ 101 and Jesus Christ 102, and we do that day in and day out, hour in and hour out, as we raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. My next book is coming out, friends. We're just a week or two away of sending copies of this book out to you. It's available right now on our website. It's called Family Life. A new book called Family Life, in which we introduce to you the basics of raising our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, but also more than that, restoring the biblical conception of the family. And you're going to find that these are some revolutionary, reformational ideas that have been long gone in our generation. We want to bring back family discipleship. You say, what's that? It's in the book. Family worship. You say, what's that? It's in the book. Family culture. It's in the book. We want to bring back family economy, family honor, and the care of our elderly grandparents. We want to bring back family, church, and state in the biblical jurisdictions. Friends, these things are largely missing, this entire vision of the family, largely missing in the present day. And we're bringing it back in a new book called Family Life, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, two dads in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.